ever get that feeling? Like, the internet's kind of lost its way a bit. It's supposed to be this like infinite library.
Right.
But these days, finding anything actually worthwhile, it feels like kind of panning for gold in a river of just clickbait and
Oh, tell me about it. It's a bit like the Wild West out there still. Except instead of tumbleweeds, you're dodging sponsored content and AI generated, well, fluff.
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this deep dive so fascinating. We're looking at this blog post, and it doesn't just, complain about the problem. It proposes a solution, a pretty radical one at that.
Right. This blog post, it's called Decentralized Open Indexes for Discovery, or DO for short, and it really throws down the gauntlet, like it's time for a change.
Okay, so set the stage for us. What's got this author so, I don't know, fired up?
Well, they start by talking about, get this, the enshittification of the internet.
Enshittification. Okay, I think I might see where this is going.
Right. Think about like your social media feed. I mean, it's not just your friends and family anymore, is
No,
it?
it's algorithms,
You're
right?
right.
Prioritizing engagement above everything else, pushing the most sensationalized content just to keep you scrolling, even if it's, well, garbage.
Okay, yeah, enshittification, I get it now. It's like
Yeah.
everywhere you look online, it's this race to the bottom for your attention. But the author's saying it's not just like annoying. It has these serious implications, especially with this whole like dead internet theory thing floating around. Right. That theory, what it suggests is basically more and more of what we see online, it's increasingly generated by AI. So it blurs the lines between like authentic content and just, algorithmic output.
So you're saying, like, imagine growing up with Google, but all it gives you are these AI-generated answers. You'd never actually learn how to, critically evaluate sources for yourself.
Exactly. You'd be stuck in this algorithmic echo chamber, never really exposed to the real diversity of thought and information out there.
So where does that leave, like, traditional search then? I mean, is it destined to just become, like, obsolete?
Well, the author poses that very question. They're suggesting that search engines, as we know them, they might be on their way out, replaced by, you guessed it, AI, trying to spoon feed you answers.
But what happens when, you don't even know what to ask in the first place? Like when you're trying to explore a new topic or you really want to go, beyond just the surface level.
That's where DOID comes in
Yeah.
with like this really bold vision, like hitting the reset button on how we discover information online, a complete overhaul.
Okay, so instead of Google, we've got DOID. I like the sound of it, but how does it actually work? Paint me a picture. What am I looking at here?
Okay, so imagine these things called indexes, right? Think of them like these meticulously crafted libraries, each one dedicated to a specific topic, a specific subject. Let's say you're interested in, I don't know, ancient Roman architecture, right?
Okay, Roman architecture, got it.
So instead of getting bogged down with all these generic search results, right, you could just dive straight into a DOID index that's like curated by actual leading archaeologists, historians, you name it, with links to the most relevant research papers, documentaries, even 3D models of these ancient
Oh,
structures.
wow. So it's like instead of just reading about the Colosseum, I can like virtually walk through it.
Exactly. And the key to navigating these indexes is the way they use these things called tokens.
Tokens. Okay, this is where it gets a little technical for me, isn't
Not
it?
at all. Think of them like really precise tags. So let's say you're fascinated by, how the Colosseum was actually
Yeah,
constructed.
sure.
You could filter that Roman architecture index for content that's tagged with, say, Colosseum and deconstruction, and bam, you're only going to see the most relevant resources. Or let's say you really like a particular historian's take on things. You could even filter by their name directly. It's about adding these layers of specificity that honestly, traditional search engines just can't handle.
So these tokens you're talking about, it's like having a direct line to the exact information you need, and it's all curated by people who, actually know their stuff.
Yeah.
Like having a personalized filter for the entire internet.
That's the idea. And because these indexes are decentralized, meaning they aren't controlled by one company or organization, there's this potential for way more diverse perspectives, and a much lower risk of censorship or manipulation. At least that's the hope.
Okay, yeah, that's a big hope. I mean, while the vision is super inspiring, I think it's important to consider the practical challenges too, right? Like, who is actually going to create and then maintain these indexes? Are we just relying on, like, internet good Samaritans to build this utopian world of shared knowledge?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And the author acknowledges that. Like, motivation is a huge hurdle. I mean, It's one thing to imagine this beautifully curated world of information, but it's another thing entirely to actually incentivize people to do the work, especially without the lure of profit.
Yeah, I mean, it's a valid concern for sure. The author actually, they compare it to like the early days of Wikipedia. You know, back then people contributed and it wasn't for money, it wasn't even for recognition or anything. They did it because they believed in the power of shared knowledge, you know what I mean? And it took time for Wikipedia to gain traction. Even today, it's got its own issues. But it's proof that these large-scale collaborative projects, they can work. They can really succeed.
So maybe it's about tapping into that same spirit, right? That spirit of collaboration, that open source ethos, getting people excited to build something together. But okay, say we do that. So we get this critical mass of index creators on board. There's still this issue of, well, trust. Couldn't someone like game the system somehow, flood it with, I don't know, their own biased content or even like malicious stuff? How do we make sure these DO8 indexes are high quality, that they're reliable?
Right. And that's where that decentralized nature of DOID, it really comes into play. See, the author draws a parallel here to the open source software movement. So like with open source software, there's always the risk of someone trying to insert malicious code, right? But the thing is, the community, they often catch it pretty quickly. And that's because that code, it's open for anyone to just look at, to inspect.
So it's like a self-regulating system then, where transparency is like the number one rule.
Exactly. Sunlight's the best disinfectant, right?
Right. Okay, but even with all that, even if we solve that problem, how would anyone even find these DOID indexes in the first place? Mm-hmm. Like, are we just expecting people to stumble across them?
That's another hurdle the author tackles. They imagine this multi-pronged approach, right? So for starters, imagine like search engines, but these ones are specifically designed to crawl and index these DOID indexes. And these search engines, they wouldn't be prioritizing just keywords and algorithms, they'd be focused on the quality, the relevance, you know, as determined by that expert curation.
Okay, so instead of trying to compete with like Google, DOID would kind of exist alongside it. Is this alternative? For those who really want that more curated, you know, trustworthy experience, what other ways are they thinking about for discoverability?
Think like community-driven directories or even like peer-to-peer networks just for sharing these curated lists. So for example, right, picture this, a subreddit, but it's dedicated entirely to DOID indexes. Users can share, discuss, rate different indexes based on how good they are, how reliable they seem, or picture like academic journals, and they start hosting and linking to DOID indexes that are relevant to their specific fields, you know, getting that stamp of approval.
Yeah. So it's like this whole new ecosystem for discovering information could just emerge, one that's driven by like actual human connection, shared interest, not just algorithms and targeted ads. I like it, but let's be real. Changing people's behavior, I mean, that's tough. We're so used to like the ease, the ubiquity of these big platforms, you know. It's just easy.
Oh, absolutely. And the author acknowledges that, like breaking free from this reliance on these platforms, it's not going to be easy. But their argument is that it's crucial, like essential even, to at least start imagining and experimenting with alternatives. And what's cool is DOID, it's not just this theoretical thing. You know, the author's actually building a prototype. And get this, they're using Wikipedia as their testing ground.
Oh, wait, so they're creating a DOID index of all of Wikipedia.
It's ambitious, right?
That's incredibly ambitious.
Yeah.
I mean, how would that even work?
Think of it as a proof of concept. So imagine, right, you're exploring Wikipedia, but now you're not limited to just that little search bar they have.
Well,
you've got these curated DOID indexes to dive into. So, for instance, instead of just reading about World War II, you could go to a DOID index specifically about the conflict, right? And it's curated by historians who specialize in different parts of the war. So you could have one for the Pacific Theater, one for the European Theater, even one dedicated to like the personal stories of the soldiers who fought.
So it's like taking this massive, sprawling encyclopedia and organizing it into these digestible, you know, thematic journeys. You could really get lost in there in a good way. But wouldn't that, I mean, that would take forever to put together.
It would be a huge undertaking, for sure. No doubt about it. But the author seems to think it's doable, that it's achievable. They picture leveraging Wikipedia's existing structure, the community that's already there, to build out these indexes. It would be like crowdsourcing, but on a massive, massive scale.
So instead of like, I don't know, a team of programmers spending years on this, you'd have like history buffs all over just, you know, contributing their expertise, building this incredible resource. That's a really powerful idea.
Yeah, and it doesn't stop with Wikipedia. Imagine this, right? specialized DOID indexes, but for everything, every field, every hobby, even local communities, you know. Like, instead of relying on, say, Yelp reviews, you could go to a DOID index for your neighborhood, right? But it's curated by people who actually live there.
Whoa. Okay, so the possibilities are there's kind of endless then, right? You could have a DOI index for literally anything. But even if this DOID idea doesn't, you know, become the next Google or anything, the author, they bring up these really important points about control and about access to information online.
It's true. The internet, I mean, way back when, it was founded on these principles of decentralization, open access, right? But somewhere along the way, it feels like we kind of went off course and we ended up with these mega corporations, and they control way too much of what we see, how we even find things.
It's like we traded in the open plains for like a gated community or something, all in the name of, you know, convenience and oh yeah, targeted advertising.
Exactly. And that's what makes this whole DOID concept. It's more than just, oh, wouldn't it be nice if search was better?
Yeah.
It's about like reclaiming control over our online experiences, shifting that balance of power away from these algorithms back towards actual communities, you know, from profit-driven platforms to people who genuinely just want to share knowledge because it's awesome.
That's a future worth fighting for, I think. Even if it means, you know, starting with a prototype and a dream.
Right. This DOID project, it's a good reminder that, hey, we don't have to just accept the way things are. There are other ways to organize and access information online. And yeah, it might not be easy, but like the author's showing us, sometimes all it takes is a spark, an idea to maybe get a movement going.
So I think this deep dive, we've got a lot to think about. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by like the internet, the way it is now. But this DOID concept, it gives me hope. You know, it reminds us that the internet's future, it's not set in stone. It really is up to us, the users, the creators, to shape it.
Well said. Next time you're, you know, drowning in irrelevant search results, remember DOID, right? Yeah. It might just spark an idea for a better way forward.
So until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.